Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, that Sunday has come and gone, Easter Sunday. It is the Sunday that is, even in the wasteland of American evangelicalism, where few other church holidays and holy days are observed, Easter is observed. Now, it might be observed simply as kind of an excuse for a giant community Easter egg hunt, but it's still being observed in some way. How do you mess up an Easter sermon? You really only have, in terms of the texts that are before you, a message to preach that is right at the heart and center of Christian truth claims and the Christian assurance, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Could there be such a thing as a bad Easter sermon? Turns out, not only can there be, there are many examples of bad Easter sermons. That'll be the subject of This Week in Pop American Christianity on this Friday afternoon. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
How do you mess up Easter? I mean, Easter is pretty simple. It's so simple that it would seem impossible to mess it up as a preacher.
Wow. There are so many ways to mess this up. I would argue that many of the examples that we'll give today are examples of people who literally do not believe what Scripture says. And so they have to find some way to make sense of the account of the resurrection of Christ. And so they put their own spiritual spin on it. Others, they are not capable of understanding the resurrection because they think the Bible is about them rather than about what Christ has done for them. And as a result of it, because they keep putting themselves in the center of the story, they keep missing the forest because of the tree, and the tree is themselves and their own ego. And so what I have found, this is like, I think, the ninth year on my program that we've the week after Easter, I collect up all of the bad sermons that I can find, and my audience ends up sending me links to people to consider. The week after that, we put together what we call the Worst Easter Sermon of the Year contest, not as a means of tearing people down, but really as a means of demonstrating just how far astride of Scripture these Easter sermons are. And they generally kind of fall into like six or seven major categories. But, you know, over the years, I've listened to probably more bad Easter sermons than anyone on the planet. And I'm convinced we're dealing with a form of unbelief or a form of narcissism that kind of gets in the way. And if you think the Scriptures are about you, or you refuse to believe what Scripture says, it's impossible for you to preach a good Easter sermon.
So this is indicative of why preaching in Pop American Evangelicalism can be so bad in general, not just on Easter Sunday.
Yes, this is absolutely true. It just is more obvious during an Easter sermon than a week in and week out kind of weekly grind kind of sermon. So it's at Easter, you can sit there and say, man, that sermon was way off. Why is it? And then you realize, the reason why that was off in that Easter sermon is the same reason why all the rest of the sermons are generally off. And it's just way more obvious on Easter Sunday.
Before we get into the examples, I want you to just reflect a little bit on the tragedy of this, because, and I'm thinking about this as kind of your average parish pastor. Every parish pastor knows that the people who never show up on Easter. They do. They mm-hmm. come out and the church is as full as it ever will be any other Sunday, with the possible exception of maybe Christmas, but it often doesn't even compete. So you got people who never go to church at all, who aren't even members of your church. And it's true also in Pop American Evangelicalism. This is a prime opportunity if you're going to preach Christ and Him crucified, raised from the dead, the assurance of the forgiveness of sins that is found in Him alone. This is your opportunity. And these preachers are blowing it. And I think worse, those who never hear this message on a regular basis are hearing something completely wrong in the only opportunity they may take to hear it.
Yeah, you know, you're right. And using kind of the big box mega churches, the purpose-driven and seeker-driven churches, they claim that the whole reason why they're doing church the way they're doing it is in order to be appealing to a pagan. And yet, you know, they call Easter Sunday, they literally call it the Super Bowl of church services. This is how they talk about it in their parlance. And so they spend lots of money on marketing in the weeks leading up to Easter. They, you know, basically try to recruit the people who are there and turn them into a little evangelism army to invite people to church. And we know that Scripture is very clear on this, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. If there was ever going to be an opportunity for people to be confronted with their sins and assured of the forgiveness of their sins by the victorious death and resurrection of Christ, this would be the time to do it. And over and again, I have seen these big box churches totally whiff it. And nobody is confronted with their sins. Nobody is assured of the forgiveness of their sins. And they allegorize the death and resurrection of Jesus and turn it into something that has literally no power to save anybody. And it's very tragic because they become very skilled at scratching itching ears, but they've almost gotten to the point where they have forgotten what the biblical gospel is. It's really become that bad.
So what's the first example of bad Easter preaching you've brought for us?
All right. First, we're heading to Seattle, Washington, and we're going to listen to a female pastor, Karen Lindvig, and I'll just kind of let her explain what Easter Sunday is about.
Rise up. Rise up. Whatever dead condition there is in your life right now can be resurrected, and whatever blocks that are in your way right now can be removed. We see new life everywhere, and this is the promise of Easter. We see proof of this as the earth awakens from its winter sleep, and we celebrate the return of life. There are so many aspects of the Easter story that we literally could spend weeks going through each piece and trying to figure out what is the meaning and what does this mean for me. And I wanted to pick a couple of things this morning that I wanted to focus on. And one is the return that Jesus is making. We have been studying this year the idea of who are we called to be, and looking at the hero's journey, and Jesus fully and completely fulfills that whole purpose and returns. But the other piece that I wanted us to look at this morning is the stone, because Easter is about removing the stones. What are the stones? The stones are obstacles that stop you from being who you are called to be. So if you had to think for a moment about, you know, who am I? And what am I called to be? And what is it? What is that boulder that sometimes feels monumental that I can't push through, that it may feel, I may feel helpless to remove them, or we cannot see our way out? What is blocking you from who you are called to be? Because those stones can feel, again, monumental. So when we feel like we're locked in this tomb, yeah, and it's like this boulder is in the way, and we've had a crucifixion experience, probably, because we all have them, right? We all have them on different levels. It can feel like we fill up the void with things that are superficial and unreal, yeah? Like addiction or shopping or you name it. We have a million of them. We have so many.
All right, Chris, what did Lindvig do there?
All right. So she spiritualized and allegorized the different details of the resurrection narrative. This is akin to kind of Aesop's fables, you know, the story of the tortoise and the hare, or things like that. So the resurrection account isn't a historical narrative that we are to look to and say Jesus is who he claimed to be, God in human flesh, demonstrating it by his victorious resurrection from the grave. No. You know, see, Jesus's life is an allegory, and you're supposed to look at your life. You need to be who you are called to be. And so you look at the resurrection accounts and you see the stone that was rolled in front of the tomb of Jesus, and you might feel like you've experienced a crucifixion experience in your life, and so you're kind of in a tomb, so to speak, and so those stones are preventing you from experiencing who you're called to be. This is no way to handle the biblical text, because these texts are not about us.
I mean, she practically came out and said Easter's about you. It's about obstacles in your life. It's keeping you from being what you're supposed to be. There's no subtlety to this. You don't even have to be a very sophisticated listener here to realize that she's misdirected the entire point.
Right, and I would argue that at the heart of this is total unbelief. There's no reason to think that this woman actually believes that Jesus physically rose from the grave. That's not the point at all. And so she's turned it into something all about you rather than about what Christ has done for you. And in so doing, she demonstrates how deceived she is, but unfortunately, she's deceiving others and not proclaiming the gospel at all.
What's the next example that you have for us?
All right, this is the most convoluted example. You'll see some of the elements that we heard Miss Linvig using, but this is from a place called Kensington Temple in the United Kingdom, and we're going to be listening to Christian Lythe, and Christian is a Pentecostal, and so for him, this is all about spiritual experiences versus natural experiences, and he's doing this weird dichotomy, which makes it almost impossible to not only follow his train of thought, but impossible to see what actually happened in the resurrection accounts from the Gospels.
You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go and tell his disciples and Peter that he was going before him into Galilee, and there you will see him, and as he said to you, so they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Something that really impacted me about this verse when I was praying through it about 3 weeks ago, it says that they had this amazing encounter and this amazing experience with an angel. Now, I know in Christian circles, we really want an encounter with God. We want to see angels. How many people want to see angels? Some people have actually seen angels. We want to encounter the glory of God. And here in this passage, here the women, they're going in the very early morning. I want to tell you today, if you want a move of God in your life, then it's going to impact your mornings. How many people like sleep? Amen. It's going to impact your mornings. It's going to cost you something. You know, God doesn't give encounters out and experiences out for people who are not ready to sacrifice. See, you have to give up something. God's got something quality for you. And here they are early in the morning. Now, they're not going there to get anything. They're just there to anoint the body, go through the motions, do the natural thing. But during their natural early morning wake up, then suddenly they have this experience with God. And then it says here, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us. So they were thinking, naturally speaking. But when they looked up, something different had happened. The stone had rolled away. Now, I believe that during morning prayers, as you get up faithfully in morning prayer, something is going to start happening to you. The stones in your life are going to start to move. Amen? I don't know about you, but I've found that as I begin to wake up at 6:45 every morning, challenging myself, not every day, but as much as possible, set my alarm clock, that things are being different. Things are being different for me. Now, as you think about natural things, they were thinking about natural things. Now, the stone, they were thinking, how are we going to roll away the stone? Naturally speaking. And sometimes we're caught up in natural things. We try to have natural answers to supernatural things. We want things to shift spiritually, but we're too busy doing natural things.
That was convoluted. That's a good word for it, Chris. Can you can you kind of unwind the threads a little bit for us before we take our break?
I'll do my best. You'll note that the major theme was that because the women went to the tomb in the morning, that if you want to have experiences with God and angelic experiences, which is kind of what Pentecostals are all about, then you've got to expect that you're going to have to give up something in your morning so that you can then have these experiences with God, and then he's going to roll away the stones in your life and stuff and things. And so the emphasis there is on the spiritual experience, and he's basically turned the resurrection accounts into an account regarding us having spiritual experiences in the morning with God. And it's hopelessly lost because that's not what this text is about. This is not some prescription that if we do what the women did by having morning devotions and going to tend to Jesus, then we'll have angelic and godly experiences. That's really not what this is about at all.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity Today, some examples of bad Easter sermons. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He hosts the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Stay tuned. Is the Proverbs 31 woman primarily a prescription of how to become a better wife, mother, woman, or friend? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman.
Lutheran Elementary School Association is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During April, if you open a federal FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to the Lutheran Elementary School Association. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Risen Savior Lutheran Church, Basser, Kansas. Located just right outside the northwest corner of the metro Kansas City area, we have a growing congregation of people who come from over 13 different communities to see what God is doing here, who desire to only believe, teach, confess, and practice as the church always has. Risen Savior, Basser, Kansas. Check out our website, risensaviorlcms.org.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. This glorious good news is and always has been too good not to share. It compelled Peter, Paul, and the other apostles to the very ends of the earth, and it continues to drive Lutheran Church Missouri Synod missionaries even today. Learn more here in the April issue of The Lutheran Witness magazine. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armed forces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armed forces.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity, examples of bad Easter sermons. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. Now, Chris, I'm beginning to see what you said at the beginning, and that is it's highly likely that these preachers we're hearing so far may not take seriously the belief that Jesus actually rose from the dead. And I think what's making that impression on me is that if they really believed it, they could hardly set it aside to preach what they're preaching. If they really believe that it actually happened, they wouldn't be allegorizing it to some sort of situation in my life.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I mean, the fact that Jesus walked out of the grave, you know, on the third day after he was crucified and is still alive to this day, ascended to the Father in heaven. I mean, if that were to happen today, I mean, every single media outlet, they would be leading off their evening news shows with that story. And, you know, we'd be going to Jerusalem, there would be video, there would be eyewitness accounts and people talking about it. And, you know, holy guacamole, somebody actually conquered the grave. It's never been done before. But that story is lost. It when you don't actually believe that, or you think it's even important at all. And so it's really tragic, you know, what has happened to evangelical preaching, because it doesn't glorify Christ, doesn't placard this amazing eyewitness account that he's actually conquered the grave, vindicating who he said he was, and also proving that his sacrifice for our sins was accepted by the Father. I mean, there's so much that you can preach on here, and the New Testament is not lacking for material for you to proclaim regarding the resurrection. It's just, it's mind-boggling what is happening.
So we've heard from Karen Lindvig. We've heard from Christian Lythe. Who's next?
All right. A purpose-driven fellow by the name of Chuck Balsamo. And he's going to basically take the resurrection and turn it into an example we need to be following in our lives.
Jesus had to do this miracle of resurrection by himself, alone. And he became a model for us followers. How many followers of Jesus do we have in here right now? Are you honoring Jesus today in your heart? You know, you're here and you're honoring Jesus and you're so happy that he's Lord of your life. I know I am. For 27 years, he's had that place in my life. And he faced the greatest challenge any person ever faced. And he came out of it triumphant. How many of you want a role model like that? Who can face any challenge, the highest challenge, and come out triumphant, to role model for you a power that exists with God, that is given to man, that we also can have, and Jesus wants his followers to manifest that resurrection power in each generation. And as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus, I believe there's a unique time in history when God is calling on his church to rise up in this generation and his followers to manifest his love and power. Can you say yes to that? The Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. Say that with me. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. That is a wild thing, because whatever it took to take a man who had laid his life down and died and bring him back to life again, he says that's the same Holy Spirit that abides inside of every believer of Jesus. But yet, there are too many defeated believers of Jesus. The power is yours, but you haven't used it. Life is kicking you around. There is victory available to everyone who believes in Jesus. There is so much victory. There is so much power for whatever you're facing in life right now. God can get you out of it. Do you believe that right now?
Chris, did he actually say, now see, it sounds like he believes Jesus did rise from the dead, but he doesn't think it's very important that Jesus rose from the dead. Did he actually say, in effect, that Jesus rose from the dead to show us that we can do it too?
Yes, that's what he was saying.
That's
and
what
you're
I thought.
Note then that he was allegorizing, then it becomes, so the resurrection is a model. Jesus is a model for us to follow in resurrection by us flexing our resurrection power skills that apparently we have as a result of the Holy Spirit indwelling us, so that we can bring dead things in our lives back to life.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is a listener to a message like that gonna do with that? I mean, does he go home, sit at his kitchen table and say, all right, resurrection power on, or something like that? What do you do with it?
I don't know. I'm a little at a loss as far as trying to figure out what the application looks like here, because I have yet in my multi-decades long experience of being a Christian flexed my resurrection power muscles yet. So I'm not sure how to activate that particular power in my life. So I even myself, who's not, you know, I'm not new to Christianity, I have no clue how to apply this.
The tragedy is that there's a kernel of truth to what he's saying. That, in mm-hmm. fact, the very same life, the imperishable life of Christ, does now dwell in us. That is the assurance of our resurrection from the dead. Not that we can do it, not that we have the power, but that he will raise us from the dead on the last day. But that's not what he sounds like he's pointing toward.
No, he's talking about, like, in the here and the now, we need to resurrect the dead things in our lives. And in the sermon itself, he kind of talks about, like, dreams and desires for yourself in your life that have kind of fallen by the wayside that you need to resurrect and bring back to life, and dead relationships and, you know, things like that. You know, you got to flex your resurrection power and bringing those things back to life. Yeah.
You have another example for us. What is that?
Now we're going to go postmodern emergent. We're going to listen to Cody Deese, and he's going to basically talk about how the story of the resurrection isn't about whether or not it actually happened.
I have observed that generally when you talk about the resurrection, you have two extremes. You have, on one side, an unquestioned, literal, historical fact that you must believe in order to go to some place called heaven. Okay? I have discovered and observed there's another side of the resurrection of the great moderns of our time, if you're around our spiral dynamics taught, that they look at a literal resurrection and say, this is the most ridiculous, pre-rational myth of fairy tales and fables, a guy rising from the dead? Come on. It's 2018. What I want to do today is I want to address both of those scenarios. What I want to do is I want to frame the engine of this sermon around the fact that I find both those approaches very boring. And I actually find both those approaches missing the entire point of the narrative of death and resurrection. Did it literally happen? Not the question we're interested in here. All right? Now, for some of you, that may be like, ooh, okay, where are we going? Hang with me, all right? The story is so much more significant than those discussions. And my hope today is that I can show you how much more significant this story is than arguing and fighting and debating over those discussions. Because after all, no one can prove it anyways. And even if Mary Magdalene did have an iPhone, all right, and she rolled up to the tomb and she's like, got it, boom, all right. It still is missing the point of the narrative. It's never been, nor should it be, about us factually proving some historic literal event. And here's why I say that. Because literalism, factual literalism, drains the story of its power. Because if Mary Magdalene was here and she had an iPhone and she recorded and she put it up on that screen, guess what? In that moment, it's drained the story of its magic.
Just as an aside to our listeners, that is what the emergent church has become. Those who thought yep. it was the new breath of fresh air coming into the church about 10 years ago, that's where it's gone. I guess the question is, what would St. Paul have to say to Cody Deese?
You know, it's funny that you would ask that. I'm not a good mind reader, but I'm a good reader of texts. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul actually makes it very clear what his thoughts are in this. He says in verse 12, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. And we are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. And if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. And then those who have fallen asleep in Christ, they've perished. And if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we, of all people, are most to be pitied.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. When we come back, we'll have one more example of bad Easter sermons. If it could get any worse than that, I can't imagine how it could. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
We're currently faced with a crisis in Christianity, a life and death struggle between orthodoxy and heresy, between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults.
The Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The prosperity gospel, it's nothing short of a wholesale transformation of Christianity. It's the glory of the cross supplanted by the glory of consumerism. It's a fast food Christianity. It's long in looks, but it is dreadfully short on substance.
You can meet and hear Hank Hanegraaff at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. You'll find a conference schedule and you can register at issuesetc.org. Don't miss the premier conference for Christian laity, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about bad Easter preaching. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Since almost all of you listen online, I know that you're able to take advantage of the 50 online educational options offered by Concordia University, Wisconsin. Don't put off getting your associate's, bachelor's, or your master's degree. Concordia University, Wisconsin will even waive the application fee for Issues Etc. listeners when you use the promo code ISSUES. Learn more by clicking the Concordia University, Wisconsin online logo at issuesetc.org. Lifelong Lutheran Learning, Concordia University, Wisconsin online. Chris, we've got one more example that you brought of bad Easter preaching. What is it?
This is Kevin Queen. He's the new lead pastor at Crosspoint down in Nashville. And he's literally going to basically use the story of Jesus' death and resurrection by talking about it as his death is a, it was a setback that became the setup for his comeback, and that this is something we should expect in our lives as well.
But we've all got our setbacks in life. And maybe you've never been stuck in the back of a police car, but maybe you feel stuck in a career. Or maybe you feel stuck in marriage. Or maybe the setback right now in your life is you moved to a new town and you had to start all over with relationships. Or maybe your setback is you got this dream, but nothing is working together like you thought it would. Or maybe your setback is that you have a child who seems to have lost their way in life and you don't know what to do. Or maybe your setback is financial and debt has racked up. But I'm going to tell you, the feel good is coming, but we got to get honest about our setbacks. Because some of us are so good at pretending. People are like, how you doing? I'm fine. You're not fine. Denial delays the thing that God wants to do in your life. And some of us can spend decades of our lives in denial. And it only delays the comeback that God wants to bring in your life. And so it's when we get honest with ourselves and we get honest with God and we get honest with others, it's only at the place of honesty that we can experience. When we put an ending to pretending in our lives, it's only then that our setback becomes a setup for the comeback. That's good. That's better than you made it sound like comeback. But that was really good. The setback becomes a setup for the comeback. That's what we see at the cross. That's what we see at Easter. See, Jesus experienced a resurrection, but you can't have a resurrection without a crucifixion. The glory of the resurrection only happened after the crucifixion. And the crucifixion is what we celebrate on Good Friday. But if you were a disciple, if you were a follower of Jesus in that day, there was nothing about that that seemed good. I mean, if you were a follower of Jesus as a disciple, you left everything to follow Jesus. You left your family, you left your home, you left your career, you left it all to pursue him, to follow him. And people thought you were crazy. But you believed that you were going to be a part of a movement that would change the world. And what you saw was incredible. You heard the greatest teaching that the world had ever heard. When you heard him speak, it was like the words that would come from his mouth were like the words that your soul always longed to hear. And you saw miracles and you saw people's lives change. And the crowds, they flocked to Jesus. And as you went into Jerusalem at the beginning of that week, the crowds flocked to Jesus and they wanted to make Jesus king. They wanted to take him as king. But by the end of the week, things went south, and it went south fast. Because at the end of the week, Jesus was dead. The one that you hung your hopes upon, the hero that you hung your hopes upon, was now hanging on a cross with all of your hopes attached. The essence of Easter is that Jesus lived the greatest comeback story. Jesus lived the greatest comeback story in history.
Okay, so he has equated, it sounds like he was equating the death of Jesus with me feeling stuck, having no friends, things mm-hmm. aren't working out, maybe I've got a little debt going on there. Seems to have kind of missed the point why Jesus died in the first place.
Not only that, he's missed kind of the important, the real biblical significance. Jesus' death was not a setback. It was not a defeat. It was a victory. And remember, Jesus, right before he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, he says, it is finished. You see, what Jesus accomplished on the cross was not a defeat. It was the victory of suffering, literally the fires of hell and God's wrath for our sins so that we can be forgiven. Christ was literally rejected by the Father because all of our sins were put on him so that we can be reconciled to God. Jesus' death was not a setback. It was a total victory. And when you properly understand his descent into hell, then he didn't go there to suffer for our sins. He went there to proclaim his victory, his winning against the devil and all of his forces. And so, yet we've got a major problem here is that if you picture the cross as a setback, you've missed what Scripture reveals about what Jesus did on that Friday afternoon.
So to turn the cross into some sort of rough parallel to me having a bad day, not only trivializes the death, but as you've said here, it misses the point that Jesus conquers death by his death. He mm-hmm. atones for sin by his death. This is the best thing that he ever did. This is the best thing that ever happened. This is no setback.
No setback at all. This is why the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I chose to know nothing among you except for Christ and him crucified for our sins. This is not a bad hair day for Jesus. This is his ultimate victory. And, you know, when you don't have that properly sorted out, then you end up spiritualizing and allegorizing and diminishing Christ's work on the cross. And somehow you're feeling, you know, there's Jesus, you know, winning and you thinking he's losing. This is bad theology through and through. And it's shows complete lack of understanding of what the actual gospel, the good news is. The good news is that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scripture. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. And to miss that is to miss everything and miss preaching the gospel to people who need to hear it.
Chris, what kind of dumpster diving are you going to be doing tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
We're going to be noting that Mark Driscoll is back. He's got a new book deal, and he's reemerged as a full-blown charismatic Pentecostal, and it's quite frightening.
Be sure to listen to Chris Rosebroom, Fighting for the Faith, in about 5 minutes at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Rosebroom is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Next week on Issues Etc., we'll get an introduction to the book of 2 Kings. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest. We'll continue our series with Pastor Jonathan Fisk on raising Christian children in an age of secular progressivism. And we'll discuss confession and satisfaction in the Apology of the Augsburg Confession with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House. It's a true tragedy, isn't it, that you show up on Easter morning and what should be kind of the pastor's one job, you've seen those things on social media, you had one job, they not only appear not able to do it, they appear unwilling to do the one job that they have been given, and that is to proclaim Christ dead on the cross and raised again on the third day for the forgiveness of your sins, not as an example for you to follow, not as kind of a lesson that you can do it too, not as an object lesson about how you can overcome the obstacles in your life, but as the payment for sin, God's vindication of the sacrifice he made in his son, and the absolute certain assurance of your forgiveness and your eternal life with that same Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.